Well, we are in the 30-day church challenge. Last week we talked about community, and every night in your group, if you were with your group, you were talking about that we're part of a family, and that family is important, and we meet together and we share each other to build each other up and encourage each other. But today, I want to talk about the second thing that happens when the Spirit comes on you and you are filled with the Spirit of God. Something else happens, that you have this desire to worship God like you never had before. And so Acts chapter 2, I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to read two parts just as a kickoff here. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. That's the first element. Prayers. Prayers of praise. Prayers of thanksgiving. They spent their time praying. And then in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. Praising God. That's what we did this morning. We were praising God. We were worshiping God. Those two things, praying prayers and praising God in worship, there's nothing like Spirit-filled worship. There's something about it. There's something unique about it. Whereas before, you probably never even cared that much about it. You know, sing a song or something, and then that's all there. But what about a life of worship? I wonder what that would be like if our whole lives were lives made as unto the Lord in worship. Revelation chapter 4, not verse 12, but verse 11. There isn't a verse 12. It says, by your will or for your pleasure were all things created. That's why we were created, for God's enjoyment. God made you and God made me just to enjoy Him. That's why I exist. And that's why you exist. We exist for God's enjoyment. God planned you for His will, and He planned you for His purposes. And the reason you're alive here today, this is the absolute truth, the reason you're alive here today is God wanted you alive. God wanted you alive. And He gets enjoyment out of watching you. He enjoyed watching you this morning. Isn't that interesting thing? He was watching. He was watching you praise. He was watching you. But He doesn't just watch us when we go to church. So better behave, Jesus is watching. Oh, on the contrary, no. Every area of your life, He gets enjoyment out of watching you. And the reason for this whole focus is that God wants you to love Him back. That you would spend your life loving God back. He wants you to bring enjoyment back to Him. He creates us for a purpose, so that He could watch us and find enjoyment from what we do. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 37 and 38, such a paramount verse, but it simply says this: us, shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is and if you underline your Bible, this is the first commandment, first. Most important thing that'll ever happen is that I will spend my life loving God. Just loving God. What are you about? I'm about loving God. That's what we do. This is the first thing we do. There's a second one, that's loving your neighbor as yourself, but we can save that for another day. So our primary objective in life is to worship God. That's not something we do for a few minutes on Sunday. It's something we do as a way of life, to worship God. God says, and this is what I believe, this is a word from Him, He would say, love me back. Love me back. That's the response. Love me back because I made you to love you and to know you. And I want you to know me. And I want you to love me back. There's a word for this. There's a word for this activity of us loving God back. It's called worship. It's called worship. What kind of thoughts, though, come to your mind? I know for me, the thoughts that come to my mind when I hear the word worship, I think a bunch of people sitting in church facing the front and somebody leading them from the front. And that's, singing songs. few announcements tossed in as well. But worship, of course, you know this, it's much more than that. It's much more than coming to church. It's much more than singing good songs. It's more than that. You see, our whole lives are designed to give God glory. That's where you say, Lord, glorify yourself here this morning. As we lift our hearts to you, as we lift our hands to you, God, Lord, as we do those type of things, Lord, we give you glory. That's our highest priority in our lives. Nothing will be higher than that, just giving God glory. But there's a verse that I suppose best describes and best defines worship. And it's found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It's a great verse. He says, therefore, I beseech you, brothers, therefore, by the mercies of God. What mercies? The whole 11 chapters of mercies from Romans chapter 1 right through to here now to Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, in the presence of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your, can you believe it? Which is your spiritual worship. Which is your spiritual worship. So worship is my response to God's love. When I see his love in Scripture, when I see his love in nature, when I see his love in my life, my response is to worship him. And because of God's great, great, great mercies, 10,000 reasons we sang about, 10,000 reasons for responding. And so, because of God's great mercy and his great love to us, we worship him back. We worship him back. And God takes the initiative. God makes the first move. And he makes the first move and we respond. And so worship is simply giving back to God. And the question, of course, is, what is it that I'm giving back? What is it that I'm giving back? What is it that I'm supposed to offer? Offer yourself as a living sacrifice. What is it I'm offering? What do you give a creator? Jimmy Pattison's daughter said to me one time, we were at a gathering, realized that's who she was. And she said, oh, it's my dad's birthday. And I smiled and I said, what would you get Jimmy Pattison for his birthday? It's not easy, is it? Doesn't just automatically come to your mind because he may already have that. So we just laughed about it and I thought, yeah, but what do you give a God who has everything? Right? Who has everything? The answer is simple. You give him your love. That's what you do. God wants me to love him at least in, maybe more, but at least in three ways. And I'll just list them for you. Number one, God wants me to love him thoroughly, thoughtfully. Thoughtfully. Not mindless. There's direction. Think through it. Love him with all of your mind. First, with our mind. Think through it. Don't do it without thinking, right? Don't just sing songs. Don't just throw an arm in the air. No, not at all. Not anything but that. It's not mindless. We are to love him with our mind, thoughtfully. But there's a second component. God wants you and I to love him passionately, not just with my head, my mind, my thoughts. That's a starting point. But he wants me to love him passionately, with all my heart, with all my soul, with zeal, passionately worshiping God. God looks for passionate worshipers. There's an emotion. We can't allow ourselves being bored worshiping the God of the universe. If you are bored, it's not God's fault. You're the boring one. Excuse me, but you were the boring. Because they say, well, I am bored when I come to church. I think that's because we are not worshiping him thoughtfully and we are not worshiping him passionately. But there's a third area as well. God wants you and I to love him practically. Thoughtfully, yes. Passionately, yes. Practically, yes. You see, if it's spiritual, right, it's practical. And if it's practical, of course, it's spiritual. Your strength, how do we love God practically? With your strength, right? With all of your strength. Why do you think God has, whatever measure of health you have, whatever measure of strength you have in your mind or in your body, that's not for you to squander. That's not for you. Simply to say, well, look at that. I'm this. I've got this. I got checked. I got a good checkup. Oh, that's great. No, I'm keeping myself in shape. Yeah, that's good. I'm exercising good. I'm eating right good. That's all good. But you've got to get the purpose right. It's not so that you are cooler and keener. It's so that you can love God practically. That you could love him with your abilities and with your strength and with your gifts and with your talents. Lord, give me mobility. Give me a sharp mind that I can love you. See, worship is focusing my attention on God. And my attention on him. To focus my mind. To focus my thoughts. To bring my gifts, whatever else I could, to offer him. And so, God wants your focus. Now, why does he want my focus? See, that to me, these things intrigue me. They take me further towards him when I think of this. Why does God want your focus? You know what the answer is? Because he is focused on you. He wants your focus because his focus is on you. How do I know that? I know that from Psalm 139. Listen to this. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. He's watching me. How would he know all that? God has focused his attention on you. That's why we've come here this morning. That's what we'll be doing on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right through again. He's focused his attention on us. He never takes his eyes off of you, ever. Not for a moment. He never stops thinking about you. I might be thinking about God, but I don't often think about God thinking about me. When you're painting, Richard, on this week, you can be, God, what are you thinking about me? And I know one thing he'd say, I love you. And I brought you out of darkness to use your life to magnify my name. And you know, you'll be dropping that can of paint, God's thinking about me. What a wonderful thing. What a powerful thing. Never takes his eyes off us. He made you to give you this attention. Isn't it amazing? He could have made it, but he made you to pour his attention on you. And you know, this is not hard to picture. What do your kids want? What do your kids want more than anything else? They want your attention. Isn't it? Whether they're little kids or big kids. What does your wife want, gentlemen? Our attention. Once in a while I get that right, but many times I don't. She wants my attention. She wants to know that I'm listening, right? Well, God wants your attention. I made a little note to myself here. Attention is an incredible expression of love. Attention is an incredible expression of love. Do you remember when you first fell in love? Remember that? Some of you. let's see. You just couldn't take that person off your mind. You're thinking about them when you got up in the morning. You were thinking about them at nighttime. You were thinking about them in the daytime. You were thinking about them in the afternoon. You thought of phoning. You thought of sending a letter. You thought of, hope you run into them. Maybe you run into them. And you were just obsessed, right? Obsessed. And you send cards and all anything you can do. When you fall in love, you can't get that person off your mind. Well, the truth of it is, and the joy of it is that God is always focusing on us. And he wants us to focus our attention on him. And I wonder how you've been doing. Wonder how that's going for you. Are you focusing your attention on him? You see, we're very self-centered by nature. By the very nature, it doesn't lend itself easily. So the question is, how do we stay focused on the Lord? If that's what he wants, if he built me so he could spend attention on me, then I must respond back, and I've got to do things to stay focused, because in a self-centered culture, it's easy that you become the object of worship. That it's all about you instead of all about God. So how do we stay focused on the Lord? Well, I know one thing. By establishing a daily time, that's one of the strongest things you'll ever do. You have a daily time. We can call it devotions. You can call it connect time. You can call it check-in time. I don't know what you want to call it, but it's a time where you carve out of your schedule. You turn the TV off. You turn your computer off. You turn everything off so that you can establish it as just a daily time. Matthew 6 and 6 is when you go into your closet and when you pray. That's what we're talking about. And because you won't be able to stay focused if you don't have that. And I always feel bad when I miss it, when I miss that time. And I do miss it. I completely get busy and I say, oh, no, there's no time for that. And I feel the difference and I know that if I'm going to be focused on God, I must have that quiet time. There's the second thing, develop a constant conversation with God. I just live over here a ways. And this morning, as I was walking, I found myself saying, I love you, Lord. I love you. I'm glad that I don't have to speak on worship to worship you. I'm just enjoying worshiping you right now as I'm walking here. Boy, just that communion, that constant conversation with God. See, worship him continually. Talk to him all day long. Right? You're looking in a store front. Say, oh, Lord, I don't know I don't think I could even afford that, but sure beautiful. Lord, you know. Right? You have that conversation. You're talking about the kids. You're talking about your job. There's whatever it would be. It doesn't matter. But you're continually talking to the Lord. There's a conversation. So number one, there's a quiet time. But throughout the day, you are training yourself to carry on a conversation with God. It's very, very powerful. How many have ever, I know you've heard of the book, but how many have ever read the book, The Practice of the Presence of God? Yeah, quite a number. By Brother Lawrence. That's what they called him. That's Brother Lawrence. If you haven't read it, you owe it to yourself to get a copy from the library or go down to the bookstore and get a copy and read it, because when I get away from that, I suffer. But that book's affected Val and I. The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. You'd be good to, because he was a monk. He was in charge of the winery in this monastery. And he would bring all the stuff, and he was an awkward, he had been a soldier for a while, and then he'd become a monk. And so he was often in the kitchen, and he was doing work. They'd have the morning prayer times, of course, at 4 a.m. or whatever they had in the monastery. But the practical stuff, he would take the broom, and he would sweep the floor. And then in overwhelmed by gratitude for God for the privilege of being able to sweep that floor, he would fling himself onto the floor and just worship. Another time he would flip an egg, as he said, for the glory of God. Flipping an egg, just flip the flag and fall on the ground and just say, I love you, I worship you. It would really change my day coming home finding Val. You okay? Yes, I just got overwhelmed with this barley soup. So, but now, the thing is, he did that as a natural response. There was a conversation going on. So worship is focusing my attention on God, but it's also focusing my affection to God. All right, I'll say that again. Worship is focusing my attention on God, but it's also expressing my affection to God. So you have to learn how to say, right? You say, you have to learn how to say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. You know, I can bring, I'm not I, I, by the Spirit's aid, I can bring the presence of Jesus just by saying that to him. I love you, Lord. I feel my heart stirring. I love you, Lord. Imagine all day long. Not just in church. Say, well, you're going to church to worship. How about all day long? And then having a grand finale at the beginning of the week as we start again. I love you, Lord. I hope that you'll take this home with you. That you can even write on the side, I love you, Lord. I want to learn to say that over all day long, not in some kind of a vain way, you know, just I love you, Lord, love you, Lord, love you, Lord. Even he's saying, no. Remember, worship me thoughtfully. Worship me passionately. It's not just going over the same old thing. And if you do find yourself going, stop and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm just repeating a phrase here. I'm not worshiping you. Now I'm going to worship you and I'm going to praise you. So focus our attention on God and express our affection to God. So God wants you to express your love to him, as he is already expressing it in you, in creation, in making you, in creating you. And so 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love because he first loved us. He first loved us. This is the doctrine of prevenient grace. The doctrine of prevenient grace, where God was always first. He first loved us, first cared for us, and as a result of that, we respond to that. We focus our attention on God, we express our affection to God, and now, if there's a third thing, we use our abilities for God. We use our abilities for God. This is loving God with all your strength, flat out, all your strength. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for man. Not for man. Do all that you do, do it for God. Everything you do. Cooking a meal, be conscious of that. Do it for God. Running errands, do it for God. Helping with the youth, do it for God. You see, God doesn't want our worship just to be a church thing. Matter of fact, that's actually the weakest part of it, really, isn't it? It's the least part of it. There's so much more other parts of it. I think we should maybe open a window. I see it looks like some of you are going to be seeing the portals of heaven here if we don't get a window. It is a bit close here for whatever reason. Just don't leave. Just open the window. So that's what we do. He wants it to be your whole life, to worship, if you can catch this, to worship God with your life. I worked for a number of 5 years or more with Reverend Merv Switzer, lovely man. He's still around, still in Regina. He's not the senior pastor, but he's an elder there. And Merv's a very, if he's listening to this somewhere on the internet, he won't mind this, but he was very smart guy. Could see things and fix things. And I remember saying to him one time, you know, you could have been a very wealthy man. You could have been a very wealthy man. I said, he was sharp. And he said, yeah, maybe. But I thought that I could channel it better for the Lord's work. Right? Rather than making money, which he could. And there's nothing wrong with that part of it either, but for his life. And I thought, yeah, because he wanted to, for the glory of God. See, to worship God with your life. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. So it says, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. Right? To please him. So he used his organizational abilities, his administrative abilities, to do the Lord's work. So whatever you do, whether you are going to be a wealthy person or just an ordinary person, whatever you do, be able to say, I did it all for God. As much as I knew how, I did it for God, to please him. You see, you can make beds to the glory of God. You can clean your garage to the glory of God. And I would say that if you say, I hate my job, I hate my work, I just detest it, I can hardly wait till I'm out of there. Well, that's okay, right? I mean, it's okay. But as long as you're there, how do you think it would go if you decided that you weren't going to do it as unto people, but you were going to do it as unto the Lord? And so I would suggest that you try this week at your work and say, Lord, I'm going to do it for you. I'm not doing it for these people. I'm doing it for you. Right, I don't find any pleasure in this at all, but I'm going to do it. As long as I'm here, I'm going to do it for you. I remember the story by Dr. Howard Hendricks, where he was flying on American Airlines, and he said there was one belligerent customer. He said he was swearing and cursing and physical and violent, and something upset him. And so he just took a strip off this stewardess. Howard says, he said, just took a strip off her. He called her every name in the book that you could think about. He just humiliated her and just berated her in front of the whole airline, right? They're in the air. And she handled it with so much poise and so much grace and so much kindness that Hendrick said, I couldn't believe it. So he said, I got to make a contact. So he waits till so they get the guy tied up or whatever they did, or they had to control him at any rate and sit somebody with him. And so she's resuming her duties, right? So she comes by, and Howard says, excuse me. He said, I'm a frequent flyer, a gold card. He said, American Airlines. He said, and I just like, whenever I spot good service, I like to commend it to management. And so he said, you were amazing under pressure. He said, you handled that gentleman in such a way that you're a credit to your profession. And he said, I just want to know if I can have your badge number so I can report you to the boss, and a commendation. And she says, she looked at me, smiled, and said, well, that would be okay, but the problem is I don't work for American Airlines. So when I pick myself off the floor, if you don't work for American Airlines, who do you work? What plane am I on? She said, sir, I work for the Lord. I work for the Lord. What an answer. Because that's what she did. She didn't see it as just this job serving coffee or a sandwich or putting up with abuse. She did it because she felt that God wanted her to worship him in the midst of a difficult situation and situations. See, then your life becomes an act. Your whole life, not Sunday morning where I put my hands up like this, but your whole life becomes an act of worship. Can you imagine the implications of this? So I challenge you to make as the number one goal in your life, during this emphasis and hopefully beyond, but that you would to make number one goal of your life before anything else, that you would get to know and love God for the simple reason that that brings him pleasure. That brings him pleasure. Do all that we do to the glory of God because that brings him pleasure. Wouldn't you like to think that on your epitaph that they would write, here lies so-and-so, lived for the glory of God. I want to be able to have that. They live for the glory of God. Live to love God because God is so much in love with you. He's so crazy about you. He gave his all for you. He thinks about you. He dwells on you. He watches you. He watches you this morning when you were lifting your hands and you were blessing his name. He watched that, and he'll be watching you on Monday and Tuesday and all through that. And our response is, God, I love you. I love you. With all of my heart, God, I love you. And I want to live for you. And I want to be thoughtful, and I want to be passionate, and I want to be practical. I want it to magnify you. I don't want to be weird or strange. I just want to live my life for the King. What richness would come into your life? What wholeness would come into your life? Watch this video, if you would, please. So when we meet again, we'll have been worshiping all week long. So we come back here to start again, worshiping for the next week, all week long. How powerful. Marcel and I were at a conference this week in Seattle, and one of the things they asked us to encourage us to do was just to pray, but to pray with interlocking your hand. And I did that. And I felt that was a good thing. I'm going to ask you to do that, just as we close in prayer. Just interlock your hands like this. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and you can just pray it from your heart. Father, what we have talked about today is of no minor issue. It's the most important thing in life, getting to know you and love you. Dear God, I wouldn't even exist if it weren't for you. Forgive me for all the times that I think and act like you don't matter. Today, I'm realizing, Lord, that you made me and that the first purpose of my life is to know and love you back. I'm amazed that you long for a relationship with me. I'm amazed you're interested in the details of my life. But most of all, I'm amazed you would come to earth and to die for me. I don't understand it at all, but I say, wow, Lord, wow to you. Please forgive me, God, for not worshiping you. I want to learn how to focus my attention on you throughout my day. I want to turn my work into worship. I want to learn to love you with the love that you deserve, thoughtfully with my mind, passionately with my heart and soul, and practically with my abilities. When I go back to work on Monday, I'm going to be working for you, doing my job as if you were the boss. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for giving your life for me. As much as I know how, I want to give my life back to you. Lord, as much as I know how, I offer my life back to you this morning to live for you with every breath in my body. Lord, cause us to be passionate worshipers, thoughtful worshipers. Pray that all week long, as we learn more about how to worship you, that you would really speak to us and touch us. Bless all the small groups and our conversations together. May they magnify you. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray this. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here this morning. We invite you. It's a little cooler on the patio than it is in here, so please join us if you're able to. The Lord bless you.